Grace and peace of our Lord be ever with you. Again, this is David Borger, your transitional person between the retirement for medical reasons of our former pastor, Larry Barbary, and are anxiously looking forward to our new pastor, Peggy Moss, coming as of the 5th of July. This is a message focused on what is to the calendar, the sixth Sunday of Easter. Mindful of all that we continue to be challenged through and to adjust toward, let us unite our hearts in prayer as we go before the Lord to give thanks for what we enjoy and for those who help us to enjoy it. Heavenly Father, in your grace, you guide us day by day. You enable us to enjoy the fullness of life even with the current restrictions that seem to hedge upon us from every direction. As uncomfortable as we are in socially distancing ourselves from one another, our minds are aware enough of the challenges of disease and the promises of medicine that though we may not meet together in worship, our hearts are one as we look to you, O Lord, for daily guidance. Again, we give thanks to all those in the healthcare occupations, for those who provide the essential services we need and depend upon, and for all those who serve above and beyond, that we may be as little taxed as is able in the present day. Let us unite our hearts in prayer as we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Scripture reading for today and this week is from John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 15 and reading through verse 21. Hear now God's word. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Know that I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them." Thus ends this reading of God's holy word. The setting for this passage in the Gospel of John is Jesus with the disciples in what we would call Maundy Thursday, that night of the Last Supper in the upper room. Jesus is trying to prepare them for all that is coming, knowing the fear that is going to be in their hearts when they see him arrested, the agony that they're going to suffer in his suffering on the cross. The disciples are aware of the tension building in the circumstances, though the crowds, the people, are feeding on Jesus' word and coming in great numbers to hear Jesus, the teacher, and to receive from Jesus the healer that touch which can make them whole, the authorities, both the Jewish and the Roman authorities, have been increasingly antagonistic towards Jesus because of the fear they have that he is threatening their positions and their power. Therefore, the disciples in that upper room, though they don't know the exact circumstances of the next 2 or 3 days, are getting butterflies in the stomach the size of aircraft carriers. And so Jesus is trying to share with them the promise of God's presence and his continuing concern for them through the present circumstances, through the agony to the resurrection. They hear the words, and it's only in light of Easter Sunday and the empty tomb and the Lord standing in front of them once more that the reality of what Jesus was trying to tell them will truly sink in. Jesus puts before them one overriding principle. If their love for him is real, it will be lived out in their lives and experience by being faithful to what he's taught them. He has tried to share with them that it's not an eye for an eye world, but a forgive them not once, nor three times, nor seven, but 70 times seven. It is love your neighbor as yourself, not love yourself and dump on your neighbor. The disciples are fearful that when Jesus is taken from them, they won't have a friend, they won't have anything other than the memories and experience of what they saw with him. And so the words of Jesus saying, I am not going to leave you orphaned. There is going to be one who is sent, the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, that will enable you to do as great of things as I have done and more. And they hear the words, but again, it's only after the resurrection that the reality of that promise is experienced by the disciples. Now, it's interesting. The background of the Greek word that we translate in English as advocate or helper is hard to define. I guess the best way to say it is if something's happened to you and you've been arrested and taken into court to be charged, and you're totally unaware of what your circumstances are or what the law has to say for you, you'd feel kind of lost and helpless. But if in the midst of all this standing before the judge, someone walks up to you and says, I'm a lawyer, I understand what the charges mean, and I'm going to be there to see you through this so that you aren't damaged by the charges that are now being brought before you, that's one tiny glimpse of what the advocate or the helper really means. When I was growing up, my dad seemed, in my young eyes, to be a jack of all trades. He could build a shed to put his tools in. He supervised the moving of a garage that he'd bought from someone else and moved on a flatbed truck to our backyard and saw to it that it had a good concrete foundation and that there was electricity in the building, and he could do basically whatever he wanted to do to the car in that garage. The times when I had some school projects and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do it, if I talked to Dad, what had happened was he'd say, okay, David, let's go to my shed and we'll see what we can do. And I'd basically stand back and he'd do 99% of the work. In particular, I remember in middle school, we had a chapter in one of our classes on Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. And one of the class assignments was each of the students was to go home and make a map of Treasure Island to kind of illustrate the principles of the book and to see whether we'd remembered where some of the events took place on Treasure Island. Well, I went home and Dad said, okay, let's see what we can do. He pulled out some brown butcher paper, had some linseed oil, wax, and some magic markers, and in a little over an hour and a half, we had a map of Treasure Island that looked aged. He had folded it and dripped the candle wax in certain places. He even had a candle lit and burnt the edges of the paper so it looked like it had been through who knows what. When we finished up, I took the map to school. My teacher was so impressed by it that my map ended up being put on the bulletin board for the rest of that series on Treasure Island. And my sole contribution to that map was wiping the linseed oil on the butcher paper and then turning the paper over and wiping the backside of the butcher paper. Other than that, 99% of what happened with that map was my dad's. He was my advocate, for good or for ill, in a lot of early situations in my life. And all of us have experienced times when we feel like we're alone, when we feel like we don't know what our resources are or how we're going to handle something or how we're going to get from here to there. And it's then when God's gift of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who can help us and assure us that we are not alone, that we have resources beyond our current knowledge, beyond our imagination many times, and we find out how close and present God is, and through God, how close and present God's people can be for us in times of want, in times of need, in times of sorrow, in times of hurt. Know that we are surrounded by love, by God's holy love, by Christ's redeeming love, and by the Holy Spirit's helping us to recover and bloom and grow. May you in this coming week know and experience the power of God's presence to lift you over your burdens and to bring you into God's peace. Let us pray. Ever and always in your Son's name, O God, do we come to you in thanks and in awe of your presence. Help us in all things to be victors, not for our cause, but for yours, that through us your kingdom, your love, your people might grow. Amen.